We're going to start in Ephesians chapter number 2. And you're familiar with verse number 6. Before that, he talks about in verse number 5. Let me get out of the Amplified here. I'm in the Amplified. But in verse number 5, first of all, he says that even when we were dead in sins, God quickened us together with Christ. By grace we're saved. And then verse 6, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Is that true? Are you seated with Jesus in heavenly places? Turn to your neighbor and say, that's interesting. It looks like you're sitting right here right now. So he's not talking about our physical body, is he? He can't be talking about our physical body. Because he's talking about our spiritual position. The new position of this new creation, this born-again human spirit, is seated far above all these forces of darkness. He said we're seated with Jesus in heavenly places in Christ. Now go back to chapter number 1. Look with me at verse number 20. He wants us to know in verse 19 what's the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the work of that mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Well, we just read we're raised up with him. We're raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Well, see, now that's where we're seated with him. Verse 6 of chapter 2 says we're seated with him there. Raised us up together, made us sit together with Christ. Where is that? Verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Praise be to God. Those verses never get old to me. I know we've read them many times. You shout about them. You live them. You walk in them. You rejoice over them. You win victories through them. But it never gets old. Just looking at those verses. So we know from this verse, he said we're seated with Jesus. That can't be our flesh. That can't be our body. Our physical body's still here in this earth. But I think to understand this, that we're going to have to understand this in order to properly walk in dominion. And what we're going to have to understand is that the new creation has a higher position in the spirit realm than he did before we were born again. We used to be in spiritual death. We used to, our spirit man was separated from God and was spiritually dead. And in the, we read the 21st, 22nd verse, or 20 through 21st verses there in chapter 1. But if you would have kept reading, he gets down to chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That can't be physically, because none of us were dead physically. That's spiritual death. There's different kinds of death in the Bible. But then he mentions, you were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past, still describing this state of spiritual death, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Now get this, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the forces of, that's the demon forces that he mentioned there in chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, or 20 and 21, where he said, raise us up far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. That's those demon forces. We used to be in spiritual death. We walked according to the prince of the power of the air. We used to be under their dominion. They had sway over us. But now they don't. You hath he quickened who were under dead and under that dominion. But we're not anymore. Were is past tense. Praise be to God. I already did it. I made myself preach myself happy already. Already glad I came to church. But this new position in your, this is the new position of your spiritual man. Not your body, not even your emotions or mind. And so what do we learn then? Really, our dominion, in order to walk in our dominion, and I saw this years ago and I never have forgotten it. It's always helped me so much to understand that for me to walk in my dominion, I've got to walk out of my spirit. Now, what does that mean? Well, Brother Hagin made the statement, we were asking some questions about how to help people in healing school. And he said, if you can train people to live out of their spirit, you can train them to have victory in every area of life. Now, what on earth does that mean? That's talking about the new nature. In our flesh, we still have the nature of sin. our flesh. Your flesh, my flesh, our flesh will still do the same old things it used to do, even though we're born again. Now, I know we know this, but we got to get something here. So that old nature, that old man passed away. Behold, all things became new. You need to do a study of what's the new nature of that new man. Because that's who you are. People, Christians even. Christians run around, I don't know who I am. Well, you ought to read the manual of the one who created you. I mean, you know, if you buy your child a bike, it comes in, it's in pieces in a box. Yeah. You get out the instructions. How does this thing work? Who is this thing? What is this thing? How do you put this thing together? Right. And whenever you were born again, you came with instructions. Amen. You came with a revelation of who you really are. Amen. This new man has a new nature. Yes. He has the nature of love, the divine kind of love. Your flesh has the nature of hate. Yeah. Selfishness. Yeah, right. You do me wrong, I'll do you wrong. Yep. That's the flesh. But the love of God shed abroad in our heart. Christ died for this is the love that's in us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah. You don't have good feelings for people that have sinned against you.
Come on, that's true.
I'm not talking about your new nature. I'm talking about your feelings.
Right. Yep, that flesh, right.
God, we had sinned against God. He didn't have good feelings for us. But God so loved the world that
He gave.
He didn't say He so loved the world that He had gushy feelings for us.
No.
So we've got this new nature, this love of God, Romans 5:5, shed abroad in our hearts.
Yes.
We know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren, 1 John 5 says. Or whichever chapter it is.
Yes,
maybe you can look up one verse. We know that. We've passed from death and life because we walk in this divine kind of love.
Yeah.
Or we have this divine kind of love. We don't automatically walk in it. We have to choose to do that.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Amen.
Yes,
and a lot of times you have to do it by faith.
Because
you have feelings as big as a fat zero. A lot of times. Sometimes you have good feelings, but a lot of times you don't. Aren't you glad we can walk in dominion over those feelings and walk in the divine kind of love? So that's one thing Brother Hagin meant. If you can teach people to live out of their spirit, you can help them in every area of life.
Amen.
Live out of that new... What is in that new nature?
Right.
Well, see, number one, the Holy Spirit came to live inside of our spirit.
Right. Yes.
And He's the one that changed that nature.
Yes.
And He put the nature of God in us, which is love. God is love. And if we can live out of the divine kind of love of our spirit rather than the feelings of our flesh, we can dominate.
Amen.
I don't mean control people. I mean we can have victory over what Satan's trying to do in that relationship.
Amen.
Well, what about faith? Brother Hagin said if you can train people to live out of their spirit, you can help them in every area of life. Well, the faith is of the heart. Faith isn't of the mind. It's not of the emotions. You can walk in faith out of your spirit, and it'll work out of your spirit whenever you have no physical feelings, no mental understanding of how it's going to come to pass. But be in faith. So if you can train people to live out of faith, you can help them in every area of life. And every fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. If you can train people to live out of the Spirit, you can train them to overcome depression.
Because
they'll live out of the joy of the Lord that's in their spirit. If you can train people to live out of their spirit, they can live out of peace. And that'll overcome worry. And you can go on and on, all the fruit of the Spirit, all the new nature, so forth and so on. But anyway, remember, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Everything God has given you is greater than Satan's greatest weapon against it.
Yes.
The love of God is greater than hate.
Right.
Far greater.
Amen. Yeah.
Did you hear that? The love of God is greater than hate.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yes.
Faith is greater than fear.
Yes.
Joy is greater than depression.
Yes.
Everything God gave you is to be victorious in this life is greater than anything Satan throws against it. That means if you can live out of those things, you can dominate in every area of life. Because it's greater. You're living out of the greater. Oh, my. Now, so that's how you're going to have to, when it comes to walking in dominion, which we have barely gotten this subject started yet. You might think we've got some good truths, and we have. But boy, compared to... God gives me notes quicker than I can preach them. You know that? I usually get at least 3 or 4 sermons a week, and I can only get out about 2. Amen. It was a relief in Bible school to preach 3 hours a day. You know, you get a whole lot more out. Amen. So pray for me. I have some trouble in that area. I'm getting a whole lot more than I can get out. I guess I've got to do some internet broadcasts and do some other things. I don't want to take all this to heaven with me. Let's go and get it out. So, but he said, we're talking about dominion. The greatest thing, well, I think one of the first things that you need to use your faith to walk in dominion in is to live out of your spirit and not let your soul, your mind, which is part of the soul, or your fleshly feelings dominate you. But let the new nature dominate you. You know, you got a love nature, you got the nature of God in your spirit, but you got the opposite nature in your flesh.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, yeah. All of us have. That part of our being's not redeemed yet, in the sense of we still have the nature of sin in our flesh. Now, that doesn't have to dominate us, though. Remember, sin shall not have dominion over you, Romans 6 says. For you're not under the law, you're under grace. In other words, the grace of God will help you to to live in victory over sin in your flesh.
Amen.
So the greatest, people talk about spiritual warfare. Charismatic circles talk a lot about it. And I understand to a degree what they're saying, but to a degree that they're confused about what spiritual warfare really is. You ought to just go home this afternoon and do a Greek study in the New Testament, especially. We're living under the New Testament. Do it under, do a Greek study on, or just a word search on war and warfare and see what comes up. It comes up different things, but the vast majority, if you look at all the verses, the vast majority of them are in reference, or the word war or warfare is used in context of the battle between spirit, soul, and body. Amen. That's where the real warfare really is. People scream, the devil, whenever if they had crucified their flesh and not given place to his thoughts, say he wouldn't have been able to do what he did. Now, some preaching makes you shout at the time. Some preaching makes you shout later if you do it. And this morning is preaching B. Door A or B, which one do you want? Take it all. Yeah, we'll take it all. So we are called as Christians to live out of our spirit. That's what spirituality really is. There's a spiritual Christian. If you read the Bible very closely in the New Testament, you'll find there's three kinds of people on the earth. I'm not talking about black, white, and red. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spirit. I'm talking about natural. The Bible uses the term natural man. Remember, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So there's the natural man. Then the Bible talks about the carnal man. And the Bible talks about the spiritual man. Three kinds of people. The natural man, if you study that term in the New Testament, that's the man that's not even born again. It's not even born again. We could take a lot of time on this. We're just passing by to help us get to where we're going this morning. Number two, there's the carnal man. These last two are Christians. Remember Paul said, he's talking to the Corinthian church, I wrote unto you not as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Even as unto babes in Christ. Remember that? For there's among you envying and strife and division. Are you not carnal and walk? He's talking to Christians, said they're carnal. He said, I couldn't write unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. So there's three kinds of people, spiritual, carnal, and then natural. The natural man's not even born again. There's two kinds of Christians. There's spiritual Christians and carnal Christians. Well, what is a spiritual Christian? Well, let's go to the carnal one first. What's a carnal Christian? A carnal Christian, the word carnal means it's from carne. You ever eaten chili con carne? That's chili with meat. A carnal Christian is a meat Christian. They don't eat vegetables, they eat meat. No, I'm kidding. That's not what it's talking about. No, carnal, that's not talking about what you eat. That's talking about what's ruling you. Meat is the same thing as flesh. Carnal Christian is ruled by the flesh. They have the new nature. They're born again. They have the love of God inside of them. But boy, don't count on it. Whenever you interact with them, don't count on them letting that dominate them. Because they get hurt and they get offended. They'll walk in unforgiveness and get revenge and have ill will and animosity just like any old sinner will.
Oh my.
Yep. That's a carnal Christian.
Yes.
Come on.
And everybody that wants to come back next Sunday said amen.
Amen.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, there you go.
You must be the second kind of Christian then. You must be the spiritual kind. What's a spiritual Christian? Well, let's finish. First of all, let's finish the definition of a carnal Christian. We started that. We didn't finish it. A carnal Christian is a Christian who is body ruled. Body rule means the nature of the flesh, the fleshly nature. That's the nature of spiritual death, which is in your flesh. So a carnal Christian is body ruled, and they have an unrenewed mind and an undeveloped spirit. That's a carnal Christian. In other words, their spirit has not been developed enough to rule them. See, we're talking about dominion and what rules us or what we rule over. One of the biggest areas to get a hold of the area of dominion is learning not to let your mind or your emotions rule over you or your physical body or its appetites rule over you.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Paul said all things are, you know, all things are, I forget the word, acceptable unto me, but all things are not expedient.
Yes.
Amen. There's some things anyway, that's a carnal Christian. Now, what is a spiritual Christian? A spiritual Christian is a Christian who's ruled by their spirit rules them. What do I mean, their spirit? I mean their new nature through the new birth. Yes. The love of God.
Yes, sir. Yep.
The joy of the Lord. They might not feel like it, but they don't live out of their feelings. They live out of their spirit.
Yes, amen.
They get up in the morning, look themselves in the mirror and say, you're going to act like I tell you to today. And today, you're full of joy. Today, you're going to walk in love. Today, you don't carry offense. Today, and you just tell it.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Did you get that? No. Well, let me tell you again. Today. And that's the spirit. He lives out of the, he makes choices out of his will. To live out of his spirit nature, not his fleshly nature.
Yes. Right. Amen.
And a spiritual Christian, remember we said a carnal Christian's a body-ruled Christian. He's got an unrenewed mind and his undeveloped spirit. A spiritual man, his spirit is developed, his mind is renewed, or at least being renewed, and his body is under the Spirit's control.
Amen.
You say the Holy Spirit's control? Well, yeah, but he does that through your human spirit.
Right.
The Holy Spirit doesn't control you. You do.
Yep.
Paul said, I keep under my body. He didn't say, the Holy Ghost keeps my body under. He said, I do. Who's I? Well, I's not his body because he said, I keep under my body. So I's not his body and I's not his mind either. I is his spirit man. That's a spiritual Christian. Now, you don't have to, testify this morning. I won't testify, but there's been times we've been both. Where spiritual growth is the process of growing out of being carnally ruled or mind ruled and being spiritually dominated. In other words, we control our actions, our thoughts. Okay, get this. Our feelings. Now we say feelings, we're not talking about, in this case, the feelings of the body. The physical body feels something. Like if I tap him like that, he feels that. But that's not the feelings I'm talking about. You ever heard somebody say, that person hurt my feelings?
Yeah.
Are they saying they beat them up physically?
No.
And their body hurts? No. They're saying their emotions are hurting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's really feelings in the body and feelings in the emotions. Your emotions have certain appetites. Pastor, are you going there this morning? Yeah, we're going there. Your emotions have certain things. It likes to feel certain ways.
Yes. Yes.
It likes to feel like a victim. Feel like nobody treats me fair. I'm a victim. It likes pity parties. It likes depression. Your soul. My soul. Amen. The process of the Word of God getting into us is to renew our mind. And also, Paul said, well, actually, David said, it's in a couple places in the Bible, to restore our soul. That's more than just the mind. Amen. So would it be all right if we look a little bit at this morning?
Yes, sir.
Whatever's controlling you and whatever's making your decisions, making your decisions for you, that's what's dominating you. I should say that again. Whatever is making our decisions for us or whatever's controlling us, controlling our actions, controlling our decisions, so forth and so on, controlling our words. That's what's dominating us. Have you ever said things? I can throw up both hands and feet on this one. Have you ever said something real mean and nasty because you were feeling certain ways? Shoo! Afterwards, you cooled down and you thought about what you said and you thought, what was I so worked up about? That wasn't me. That's scary, isn't it? That wasn't me. In other words, we were under the influence of something. Not a whole lot of amens because everybody's kind of thinking about it. Amen. You need to get this real clear in your thinking. Satan is after your thinking. He's after your mind, and he wants you to hold you in the realm of the emotions. Now, your emotions are not Satan, but I'm saying he wants to hold you in that realm. Because there's certain things, the emotions aren't all bad. There's good and bad emotions. But the Bible said to set our affections, which are emotions, on things above. We are to determine the direction of our emotions, not let them determine our direction.
Amen.
So there's good and bad emotions. But yet, right on the other hand, Satan wants to get control of our emotions. To get us so worked up. If you look up the word emotions, it's not a biblical word. It's a Latin word. It's E, I think it must stand for energy, and then motion, which means movement. Yeah. And some translations, or not translations, excuse me, some English study helps will say it has to do with excited emotions. When a person's soul gets really excited about something, good or bad, it gives them energy and moves them in that direction. Now, that can be good or bad. You can use the energy of excitement for good things. But you can use the same, you can take the energy of emotions and take them in bad directions. That's what anger is all about. The Bible said, be angry and sin not. Anger is something that it might begin, some of these things begin in the spirit realm, but they affect our emotions and they want to move, they're trying to move us into certain directions. Remember, the Bible said, be angry and sin not. There's you can get worked up about something and so mad that you can slip into sin without even, I mean, and you cool down, you wonder, why on earth did I act that way? Why did I do that? Because there was a whole lot of energy in your soul going the wrong direction. Every parent knows about your child's energy and getting that directed in the right direction. And so, but Satan wants to get involved in this and he wants to energize these things. It's our job to set them on the right things so that he can't energize it. We don't give Satan anything to energize. Our flesh is our flesh. Our body, our physical fleshly appetites are our physical appetites. They are not Satan. But if we begin to yield to them, Satan will energize them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's what bondage to certain things, how bondage to certain things gets in. Bondage to depression can be just a physical thing or an emotional thing, but it can get energized by the enemy. Same thing true with pornography or other things or bad, you know, nicotine habits or things like that. It begins in the flesh, but as we yield to the flesh, demons begin to get involved with it and begin to energize it. And the same thing is true with our emotions. We are not supposed to be emotionless people. The football game, is it the Super Bowl today? Tells you how tuned in I've been. But anyway, what would you think of those fans in that stand, and the whole time they're playing, they just sit there with a dull look on their face? You'd think, get excited.
Come on.
Are you excited or not? No, they're going to be waving stuff and worked up, right? There's a place for there's a place for just having a good time and emotions. But you can't be controlled by these things. Am I preaching all right? We're not to be under control of anything. We're to be in control of our faculties, our mind, our feelings, and things like that. So there's a whole lot more we could spend time on that, but let's just keep on moving here. So praise the Lord. I have been at times in my life alarmed, especially I'm talking about in my younger years of spiritual development, I've been alarmed at how deceived I was at times by my emotions. Now go over to Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. We're going to look at this. But what I mean by that is, well, the Bible says we are spirit beings. We have a soul and we live in a body. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body.
Right.
We're doing some teaching this morning, but we gotta get this kind of foundation to live in victory.
Yes.
We're spirit beings, we have a soul, we live in a body. The soul is made up of the mind, will, and emotions. Your rational mind is part of your soul, but also your emotions. Now the deepest part of your soul, which is closest to your spirit, is your emotions. Those are the two most Christians have more trouble dividing between than anything else. And more Christians are misled by their emotions because some people think it's God. The church world today preaches real strong in some circles. Now, I'm not talking about real sound circles. I said that kindly. They preach real strong on follow your passion. And people follow their passion right into sin. And people are going, because nowhere does the Bible say to follow your passions. It said set your affections. You don't follow them. If you're setting them, you're choosing what they're set on. You're not following them.
That's
Colossians 3:1, by the way. 1 and 2. Set your affections. See, the world calls it passions. The Bible calls it affections. And the world psychologists call it emotions. We're using a term everybody understands. So I've been amazed at times in my own life. I'm not here to talk about other people. I'm going to just focus on me. How, especially in my younger stage of spiritual development, how deceived I was by my emotions at times. When I got worked up about something, I was convinced God was leading me in a certain direction. You understand what I'm talking about? But once I got settled down emotionally, it became very clear. Because now I'm no longer, my thinking is no longer being colored by my emotions. It then became very clear that what I was once convinced was the leading of God was not at all the leading of God. I was just worked up. Amen. I shudder in the reality afterwards that I was actually under the influence of something that wasn't God. And really what it was my emotions. I just worked up about something. This is where divorce comes from. People live in this realm rather than the realm of the love of God. They live in the realm of their feelings. Now, there's other factors too. You understand? I'm just talking about a lot of this goes on. So, what was that? What was going on in my life in those situations? According to Romans, you're here in Hebrews 4:12, right? According to this verse, I didn't have enough of the word in me to divide between my spirit, or I could say the voice of my spirit, which is God leading me. The voice of your spirit is conscience. The Bible always says to follow your conscience, especially if you're spiritually developed. I couldn't understand the difference between that and my soul. And Satan was taking advantage of that ignorance. Now, Hebrews 4:12, you found it?
Yes, sir.
The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder. Look at that, dividing asunder. The word of God is the sword, the two-edged sword. The word of God is this sword that divides asunder between, we could say, soul and spirit. And then it says the joints and marrow. That's in the body. And I always say spirit, soul, and body is what he's dividing here.
Yeah.
And is a discerner, that means revealer, of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God will help you recognize the difference between your spirit talking to you, your soul talking to you, and your body talking to you. And the soul has the rational intellect side to it too. We've talked about that in the past, but we're talking about this. So it's only through getting the word of God in us that we begin to know the difference between these three voices. I say humorously, sounds funny sometimes. I mean, it sounds a little weird, but I say it to get people's attention. The Bible said there's many voices in the world, and I said there's three in you.
Yep.
Oh, do I need something cast out? That's not what I said. I'm talking about the voice of your spirit, the voice of your soul, and the voice of your body.
That's good, Pastor.
Amen. And it's you and my job to divide those three, not mingle them together. A lot of Christians mingle spirit and soul together. They don't know the difference. If they're to be divided, according to this, they are to be divided. And you and I are to recognize the difference between when we're being moved emotionally and when we're being led of the Spirit. Amen. Well, I didn't give place to my feelings, people said. I was led by the Spirit. Well, I noticed you didn't have that leading until you got offended. People are so, they don't know the difference. Well, praise the Lord. The fruit of a thing tells us whether it was God or not. And the fruit of so many of these things is separation, division, amen, and hindrance of the work of God. Amen. That person didn't know how to dominate their feelings. And their feelings led them. But whenever I followed that, I got a release in my spirit. No, your flesh and your feelings got relief from being held under. And you didn't know the difference. But I got a release in my spirit. I could tell you stories that curl your toes about some of this. It's actually very dangerous to not know the difference between these things. Because it opens you up to deception. Your emotions can deceive you. Write that down. Put it on your refrigerator. Your emotions can. They don't have to. But they can if you let them. They will deceive you. People are moved by emotions, think they're following God. Amen. Your spirit never follows the witness of the spirit within it into offense. Or separation. The Lord doesn't lead into offense. Nor does he lead by offense. Praise God. Only your feelings and your soul, you know, your fleshly emotional feelings, that's what I mean, will lead you into that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you and I keeping that crucified is what's going to keep us free from these things. Doesn't mean we don't have them, we just don't yield to them. I mean the wrong ones. We're to, when people say, I got a release in my spirit, their fleshly nature was no longer crucified and it got its way. And it's not under the dominion of the spirit anymore. And so that's where that quote unquote liberty came from. I'm free. Watch how that works out for you. Amen. So if you don't learn to keep your emotions and your feelings under, the devil will use them to lead you right out of the will of God. It'll be like a ring in your nose, like a bull has a ring in his nose. He just lead that bull. He's a big old guy, but that hurts, so he goes wherever you pull him. And that's what the devil, every time you begin to make a little progress, he'll start working you up emotionally, and he'll start leading you with that to keep you out of what God has for you. Amen. And some people need to begin to start speaking to emotional storms. I'm leaving right after this. Amen. When you have, anybody know what an emotional storm is? I have had emotional storms. And I'll tell you, I've sinned more often in that situation, in that setting, than in any other setting. I'll talk about me. Aren't you glad I'm not calling? Would you come and give a testimony, please? Oh, praise the Lord. So in these emotional storms, your thoughts and your feelings start clanging around in your soul like pots and pans, making a whole lot of noise. Makes it difficult for you to sense the leadings of the Spirit. Which is exactly what the devil wanted. He wants you in that condition. He wants you disconnected from hearing from God. Because if you're disconnected from hearing from God, you're disconnected from your dominion.
Yeah.
How'd you get there? Dominion works by faith, and faith comes by hearing.
Yes, right.
So if you're not hearing, you're not going to be in dominion.
Right.
Psalm 46:10. I told somebody I liked Wednesday night prayer meeting. We had Wednesday night prayer meeting last week. I said, I'd have service like that all the time if I could. And I tried to go a little different direction this morning because I didn't want to do this. Just wasn't there. Psalm 46:10. The end of it there. Be still and know that I am God. So look at that. Be still. What does that mean? Be quiet. Still. Now, how many of you know you can be noisy in the flesh, but you can also be noisy emotionally or mentally? So be still means quiet your mind and your emotions and your body, of course. We understand that. So that you can hear God. Be still and what?
Know.
Know what he's saying to you. Know God. Know what direction to go. Be still and know. So really, he wants us to be worked up emotionally so we don't know. Satan wants us in that condition. He likes us disconnected from hearing. I have grown more and more as I walk with God. I want more calm. I want more quietness. That doesn't mean I can't hear God when there's a whole lot of things going on. That doesn't mean that. It's just that I want to live more in a place where I'm making sure I'm really hearing right. To make right decisions. Did you know success in life just has a lot to do with just making right decisions? And you and I will make wrong decisions when we're worked up emotionally almost every single time. Let the emotion subside. Get past it and then make a decision. Where you're connected with reality. There's a lot of truth to that. When we're worked up emotionally, we're not connected to reality. Have you ever gotten past an emotional storm and thought back and looked back on yourself and your actions and gone, that was irrational. That had no grounds in reality. What was I worked up about? What was the big deal? There was no big deal. It's just that I got into an emotional storm. And every little thing seemed like a huge thing. That's a dangerous place to be. You'll make irrational decisions. You'll say wrong things that affect relationships for decades sometimes that people don't know how to forgive. Thank God for the forgiveness. We can forgive. Don't you dare come Wednesday night this week. We're going to talk about unforgiveness. Because that's where a lot of this comes from. People say, I just can't forgive. No, you just won't let go of your emotions. Don't say you can't, just say you won't. You can, because the love of God shed abroad in your heart. Your precious heart. Amen. I'm glad I came this morning. Say it out loud. I have heard that emotional storms blow around sometimes. But I'm not going to participate in them anymore. Amen. Some people's lives are almost one continual storm of emotional feelings. They live in this realm. Amen. Do you know what I'm talking about? You ever had an emotional storm? Your feelings are all worked up about something. You get over it and you're like, what? What? When an emotional storm blows up and brews up, the winds of your feelings and emotions begin to blow your thoughts. No, excuse me. The winds of your emotions begin to blow your thoughts and the feelings around until you begin thinking and speaking unsoundly.
That's good.
Why am I over here? I don't know. You always wanted me to come over here, right? We got to laugh a little bit. It helps the medicine go down, right? You want me to read that again? When emotional storms brew up, the winds of your emotions begin to blow your thoughts and feelings around until you begin to think and speak unsoundly. You become disconnected from reality, which gives place to the devil. Mm-hmm. Do you know the devil is into things that aren't reality?
Yeah.
He wants you living in imaginary worlds. Of this person doesn't like me, and that person said that, and that, you know, the government's watching me, and that,
yeah, it's so true.
You know what I'm talking about? It's bondage.
Seriously.
And it's based on being disconnected from reality.
Right.
So can we say it again? Can you take me to the car after this? I need security. You become disconnected from reality, which gives place to the devil. Even after the storm is over, not even you are sure why you were so worked up about something so stupid and why you acted so unlike yourself. You know what that tells you? You or me, we weren't in dominion. We weren't. We were being controlled by something. Aren't you glad for the message of dominion? It means we can control ourselves. We can control what we say, what we think. We can control what we can say no to the enemy and give him no place. That's appealing to me. The whole body of Christ ought to be running to this message.
Amen.
If it wasn't for blindness, they would be. So tell your neighbor, I'm glad I came. Glad. So, anytime you're making decisions, anytime something's making decisions for you, that's being given dominion over you. You and I gave that dominion to that, whatever it was, emotional workup or whatever. So Elijah went from calling down fire from heaven in a showdown with the prophets of Baal. That's dominion. Flowing in the power of God. All them were wiped out. To running from Jezebel. Running for his life. From Jezebel. Quotes a demon. I'm not saying every woman is a demon. I'm saying Jezebel was demonized. I wanted to say that. Some of you are like, I'm just responding to your question. Jezebel was a demonized woman. She worshipped Baal and did all those things. Men can be demonized too. Ahab was just as bad. So I'm just saying what happened to Elijah. He was running for his life from a woman named Jezebel because he went from walking in the spirit to walking in his fleshly feelings.
Yes, he did.
He's calling down fire from heaven and all kinds of things, walking in dominion. And Jezebel said, I'm going to take your head off tomorrow. Ah, and he goes over and runs, hides in a cave, said, God, I'm the only one left. He said, now he's a victim.
Yeah.
Now he's having a pity party. I hope we get time to go to Joseph. Now, let's go to Joseph. Joseph is an interesting case. Go over to the book of Acts, the book of Acts, chapter number 7, verse number 9. It talks about Joseph's brothers throwing him into slavery. How many of you know Joseph didn't have wonderful feelings for his brothers after all of that?
Right.
But here's the thing. You never see him acting out of that. He was wronged several times. Several, repeatedly, he was wronged. But you never see Joseph, and you never have good feelings for people that wrong you. Anybody ever wronged you?
Yes.
Yeah, like yesterday. Welcome to the human race, right?
Yeah, true story.
So, but you never see him, because you know when people wrong you, you never just want to bless them and hug them and thank you. You got feelings. And so they wronged him, and the Bible says here in Acts 7:9 that these patriarchs, that's talking about his brothers, remember they sold him as a slave, they were moved with envy. I want you to see that. Moved with envy. What is emotions? E-movement. Energy that moves. Excited energy that moves. They were all worked up about him telling that dream. Remember the story? He told him the dream about his father. Really, it was. If the interpretation was, my parents and you brothers are all going to bow down to me. I'm going to be a ruler. He was so happy about it. They wanted to celebrate with him, and so they sold him. Send him on down the road. They wanted to kill him. Remember, one brother stopped him. Now, here's the thing. They were notice it says they were moved by this. Moved by this. This is a flesh. Envy is part of the fleshly nature. And so they... Here's something that the Lord said to me one time reading this. What you're full of, you will be moved by. Remember the Holy Spirit? Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit and moved. Yes. But he was filled and went and was moved by the Spirit or led by the Spirit into the wilderness. These men were moved by something they got full of. But it wasn't of God. They were moved and filled with envy and moved by envy. Now, how does something fill a person? Like feelings of envy or so forth, you know, unforgiveness. How does that begin to fill a person and take over their thoughts and so forth? By, see, emotions come through thoughts.
Yes, they do.
To keep yourself from being filled with certain emotions, keep your thoughts under control. Dominate your thought life. When the thought comes to you, they did you wrong, and Satan starts making certain suggestions, or your flesh starts making sense, you know, that's not right. You don't need to take that. You need to get even. You need start, get a hold of your thoughts. Get a hold of your thoughts. Get a hold of your thoughts. Here's something that I don't know if we're going to have time for it this morning, but your emotions are taking you somewhere. Your thoughts... Uncontrolled, which gets you worked up into an emotional state, is designed to take you somewhere. It's designed to take you somewhere. And I don't know if I have time to get into what all it says in the Bible about where it takes us. I'll just go to one verse. This is talking about, Joseph's brothers. You can see easily that it took them right into sin. Go to Genesis 4, 6 through 7. We're not done with Joseph yet. We'll come back there. But Genesis 4, 6 through 7 talks about God talking to Cain before he sinned. I'm almost done. Sometime between now and 4 o'clock, we're going to be finished. Genesis 4, 6 through 7. This is the Amplified. You know, there's two now. This is the classic. You hear me saying the Amplified, it's always the classic. Unless I say different. So Genesis 4, 6 through 7, the Amplified Classic. The Lord said to Cain, this is, remember, whenever he didn't accept Cain's offering, he accepted Abel's offering. Yes, right. Remember, the Lord said to Cain, because Cain got angry. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why do you, see, that's a question. Why do you look sad and depressed and dejected? Why? You ever heard people say, that person just makes me angry. Oh, they came over and twisted your neck and just wouldn't let you breathe until you got angry? I mean, or your ties, what I'm trying to say. They just squeezed you. They made you? Or did you choose that? Yeah, but what they did. No, your choices are your decision. Well, I don't know if I want to come back to this church. I mean, it's just... This is where real freedom is. Nobody can make you anything. They can do all they do, and you choose not to get mad. Love you anyhow. And that'll make them even madder, but so what? Why are you angry, and why do you look sad and depressed and dejected? If you do well, will you not be accepted? In other words, he brought his offering wrong and so forth. If you do not do well, look at this. Sin crouches at your door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. Now notice this. Sin is crouching there. You know what the sin was, killing Abel. He ended up yielding to it. Sin is crouching there, but God said, this is the Amplified, God says you're going to have to master this. That's dominion. God's saying, you're going to have to walk in dominion over this sin. And how's he saying sin is getting the place? God told him in this passage how sin is being given place to. He's look at here. He's angry. He's sad, depressed, and dejected. He feels wronged by God. God didn't receive my offering. That's not fair. I don't know. You know, my cows are just as good as his crops, or my crops are just as good as his cows. And
Come on.
Yep.
It's not fair. I tell you, that's just not fair. That's serving God stuff. I mean, God, he's mad.
Yeah.
And God says, yielding to that is going to give place to sin. So when I said sin is taking you somewhere,
that's good.
Notice one of the places it'll take you into is right into sin.
Right.
Or your emotions. I said emotions. Your emotions are taking you somewhere.
Yep, they will.
Well.
Wow.
God was telling him that if he didn't rule his emotions, sin, and therefore, of course, Satan, would rule over him.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you get worked up emotionally is when the time you're going to sin the quickest. That's why I said be angry and make sure don't sin. Because it's a easy thing to do. So God was telling him that his emotions were going to take him somewhere. Can you see that? So really to walk in dominion over sin, rule over your feelings. You know what I mean by feelings, your emotional feelings. They say, I don't study these things, but I've seen reports, people say, that sometimes people overeat not because of physical desire, because of emotional voids.
Absolutely.
Just something to think about. Not that eating is a sin, but some people want to stop certain things, right? Now go back here to Acts 7:9. You still glad you came?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. It might help you to understand that. There are certain thoughts that your fleshly nature likes to think on that begin to pull on your feelings that your flesh likes. In other words, your flesh likes certain feelings, so it likes to take certain thoughts, which gives you those feelings. We're down where the rubber meets the road this morning. This is where, my. Deal with the very first thought that comes to pull on those feelings. The very first, remember Jesus, King James doesn't bring it out, but other translations bring out, Peter said to Jesus, pity yourself, because he said he was going to the cross. Pity yourself. Jesus wheeled around, get behind me, Satan. When you start having something pull on your feelings of being, of wanting pity.
Right away.
You need to address it like a rattlesnake getting in your house.
Because
you need to know the devil is working on you. Victims aren't walking in dominion. Yeah, but I've been a victim. Only if you say so. Joseph could have said, I'm a victim. But because he didn't go there, he stayed in dominion. And the very thing that the enemy uses brothers to try to stop, God used it to bring it to pass.
That's right.
Now that's dominion.
That's right.
But he didn't get that because he yielded to the pity party or the, you know, bad feelings or I'm such a victim. It's not fair. People treat me wrong. Nobody gives me a break. I'm a victim. He didn't go there, so he stayed in control. When these thoughts keep coming to you about somebody doing you wrong, causing you to feel sorry for yourself, get a hold of yourself. You need to know the devil's working on me. Because he can't do it without your permission. That's why he's working on you to give him your permission. He's trying to get you to give it to him. Now, so here notice that we're closing here. These brothers, in this Old Testament story, Joseph's brothers, sold him into slavery, could have been a, and then there was successive wrongs done to him, but it could have been a the end of Joseph in this dream that he had. But because he didn't allow himself to get into the emotional realm and seek revenge. You remember when his brothers came? When he's finally the ruler and his brothers appeared for him to get food, he could have had some false accusation made against them and just off with their heads. See, that would have been reacting out of revenge and an emotional hurt and so forth. But he didn't do that, did he? See, he had all that out of him. He didn't let that in him. And that kept the power of God working. To where God could eventually bring that all to pass.
Yes, come on.
Wow. And it enables you, the very thing, I'm going to read this just like the Lord said it to me. He said, you see, Joseph, you'll see that Joseph kept himself in dominion in the situation by keeping his heart right and staying out of the feelings and emotions of his soul. The very thing that his brothers did to kill Joseph's dream ended up being the thing that brought it to pass. That's what dominion allows you to do. Whoa. That person did me wrong. Don't take it. Don't take it. Don't take the offense. Don't take the unforgiveness. Don't take the hurt. You just say, I'm going to keep walking in faith before God, and God will bring this to pass anyhow. Even though somebody on purpose did something to stop it, God will use the very thing that they did to stop it to make it come to pass. That's dominion. That's dominion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It enables you to keep the devil from making things that he intended, things the way he intended them to be. The devil intends for certain things to be certain ways, but dominion makes you, it keeps you in a place where you will keep him from being able to bring that to pass.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Dominion enables you to keep the devil from making things the way he intended them to be. Ha, ha, ha. Isn't that good? That's Joseph and a good example for us. He could have acted like a dominion. And he could have acted like he was a victim, excuse me, and probably none of that would have come to pass.
Yeah.
So keep yourself out of that. Amen. Did you get anything out of this morning?
Yes.
Tell your neighbor your emotions are going to take you somewhere. And that's just one of the things. We don't have time to get into the rest of them this morning. It'll take you into other things.
Yes.
It'll take you right out of the spirit.
Yes.
It'll take you right out of your dominion.
Right. Yes.
Amen. Stand up with me. I preached long enough this morning. It'll take you right out of your place, right out of divine connections. Amen. Amen. We're learning to master these things. Listen, you could hear this and think all emotions are wrong, and you could become stoic and your personality has no color. That's not what we're talking about. You need to have some personality. If there's anything I like when I meet people is people that have some personality. So we're not talking about, you know, being all stoic, and that can actually give place to the devil. Your emotions become depressed, and he takes advantage of that. So you understand what we're talking about. It's just whenever they start leading us in the wrong direction, we got to get a hold of the reins and say, whoa, horsey. Back up, back up. We're not going there today. Amen. Here's something you need to think about. I don't know if you ever thought about it. Emotions distort communication. And every husband and wife said, amen. Well, that's what you said. That's not what you meant. You meant this when you said that. Boy, it can go down a rabbit hole quick, man. Just amen. One of the most vulnerable times emotionally for us is whenever we're being corrected by somebody who's in that place that has the, you know, our boss or somebody, or somebody's in that place, not just any old Joe on the street. You know what I'm talking about? That's God's actually endeavoring to use somebody. Boy, that can be a wrong, emotions can produce a wrong response. Amen. Human communication is passing the information that is inside one person in as clear and as accurate way as possible to another person. And actually, words are not the highest form of communication. But neither are emotions. Communication, the highest form of communication is revelation from the Spirit of God to your spirit. That can change you, impart knowledge to you that no human being speaking words for 1,000 years could ever impart to you. But anyway, God wants to communicate to us. God is a communicator. He's got a voice. He talks. He wants us to know him. And that communication, Satan's always trying to distort that. Just like in a human relationship, emotions can distort communication, but so can... Have you ever realized there's something in the atmosphere between me and the person talking that is messing up everything we say?
Yeah.
You ever notice that?
Oh, yeah.
Get good at taking authority over that. But that's not the only thing. Emotions can distort communication. Well, Satan, remember Brother Hagin's experience? He was talking to Jesus, yakety yak yak, that demon. He's trying to distort communication.
Yes.
Well, I don't want to have you sit down, but this is pretty good.
It is good, Dad. Come on.
It'd be dangerous to have you sit down. That'd be dangerous. We might be staying too long. But Satan wants to corrupt and distort communication between you and God. Because he's always trying to hinder your faith. So take the communication with God, take it out of the emotional realm. Because that distorts it. He'll say something and you don't... Yeah, he did it to Eve.
Yes, he did.
God said something. Okay, clear. Everybody understood it. Hath God said, yeah, but he didn't mean that. And he's in there stirring it up. I won't say it. He's just always stirring stuff up. You know what that means about him? He's all stirred up. People that are always stirring stuff up, it's because they're all stirred up. We want to say to them sometimes, peace, be still.
Yeah.
Anyway, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for the truth. Thank God for the truth. Thank God for the truth. Now tell your neighbor, I don't know who needed that, but I sure am going to take it for myself. Hallelujah. This is not all that we could share. We got a lot of it out. Praise God. Now, men sometimes need to understand how to, the Bible says to nourish and cherish your wife. That includes minister to her emotions. Oh, did you feel that? Pastor, it was so good until you said that. See, remember we said there's bad emotion? Yeah, look at Brother Todd. He's going like, it's time. It's time. But on the other side, if your spouse isn't good at it yet, don't get emotional. You're welcome, Todd. I said that for you. Pray. I better quit. I might dig myself in a hole. Come get this pulpit, would you? Take it up, put it up there. The Lord put it on my heart this morning to minister to anyone who needed hands laid on for physical sickness. So if you need that, come forward. We want to minister to you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Remember, the Bible said believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. The Lord said to me back in August 15th of 1990, I've given to you a ministry of healing, and he later spoke to me about the healing anointing in my hands. So I want to minister that. Praise the Lord. Satan is just worked up. He doesn't like where we're going. He's attacking a lot of people's bodies. We're not going to glorify him. We're going to glorify the healer. Amen. Stretch out your hand. Praise God. Honey, you want to come with me? Thank you, Father. Father, we could just give you praise for your covenant, the rights and privileges we have to walk in healing, walk in health. We thank you for each person that has come today. As we lay our hands on them, Father, we believe your power will go into their bodies and drive out what Satan is seeking to do in their bodies. In the name of Jesus, we lay hands on you. In Jesus' name, be healed. And that anointing, receive that anointing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Matt, receive your healing in the name of Jesus. As your point of contact, receive it right now. We lay hands on this cloth for it to be to transfer your power to the body of the sick in the name of Jesus. And we believe it as it's laid on the sick, it'll drive out the disease in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We lay hands on this cloth. So that it's laid on the sick, it'll drive out the disease. The power that's in us goes into this cloth in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus. The power in this cloth go into this this one's body as it's laid on their body. And power drives sickness out in Jesus' name. We believe we receive it. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it, Father. We lay hands on you for the healing of your body. Oh, thank you for it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Be healed. Thank you, Father, for that anointing that drives that out. We curse that. Death, you leave. Body, you be healed. You function normal in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. We lay hands on you to minister God's power. There it goes. Just say, I receive it. Be healed now. We lay hands on you to minister God's power to you. Be healed now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. It drives the sickness out. Be healed now in Jesus' name. Thank you for it. Be healed now in Jesus' name. Be healed, Brother Don. Be strengthened. Lungs be whole, strong. I curse that. He'll finish his race in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Be healed now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We lay hands on this cloth for the healing, that the power that drove out sickness, and Paul laid hands on the cloth, it drives out this sickness in Jesus' name. We believe it and we receive it. Thank you, Father. We lay hands on you to be healed now in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. 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 Amen. Thank you, Father. We lay hands on you in the name of Jesus. Oh, there it goes. Thank you for that anointing that drives that out. Thank you, Father. Sickness, you leave her body. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Lift your hands and lift your voices. Thanking God with these that came. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You said whenever hands are laid on us, that's our point of releasing our faith. We believe these have received. We thank you, Father. We continually, from this moment forward, will praise you that it is done. In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory. Everyone that agreed said amen. Amen. Someone else? Someone else? Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I lay hands on you. Oh, there it goes, right into you. Be healed by the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you for it, Father. 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 Is this for him? You too? Father, we lay hands on them under the authority of the head of the church, so that as we do, the power that raised Jesus from the dead will go into their body and transform that which is being defective in Jesus' name. Be healed now. We give you the praise for it, Father. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, give God another shout. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God, amen.